Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I have a peer, a friend, and somebody who I really admire because she has just taken her career to amazing heights, and I'm so inspired and excited to share her story with you. Today in studio, we have Selma Fonseca. After 18 years of partying and documenting A-list events worldwide, Selma currently writes a weekly column, Overheard, for Billboard magazine. She has interviewed Ty Dolla $ign, Yoko Ono, Tinashe, Daya, DJ Zed, Ray J, Big Sean, One Republic, Kenny G, Aluna George, Wiz Khalifa, Florida Georgia Line, Nelly, and After Rome, among many others. Whether she's at the Grammys or various Oscar parties, award ceremonies, charity events, or aboard on the biggest yachts, Selma is always the most fabulous of jet setters. She has met thousands of interesting, talented people, including the likes of Michael Jackson, Ben Affleck, Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise, Paris Hilton, Michael Douglas, former President Bill Clinton, Mick Jagger, Lionel Richie, Leonardo DiCaprio, Halle Berry, and so many more stars. Brazilian Greek born in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in her teens, Selma spent 3 years in Athens, Greece, without knowing the language. Within 6 months, she was already in school studying architecture and fashion design. At the age of 18, her passion for art and, of course, love led her to New York City to study English photography, jewelry design, and craftsmanship at Parsons School of Design. After much struggle and odd jobs, she became a master jewelry artist, designing for Harry Winston and Tiffany. She loved designing jewelries but was never fulfilled, and it took years to find her dream and her voice, which she did when she started crashing celebrity parties in New York City. It all started for fun, but very quickly her outgoing and sociable personality emerged. She was partying with the most fabulous people in the world and decided to make this her lifestyle and career. She launched a photo news agency to license celebrity photos and breaking stories to publications worldwide. Her stories, interviews, and photos have been published in New York Daily News, People, Us Weekly, Hello, OK, Daily Mail, Star, Billboard, TMZ, and several others. You can check out all of Selma's photos, read her blog, and most importantly, help follow your own dream by finding an inspiration from her passion. I love this quote. It says, "Here I am, 4 million photographs later, still documenting, and I still love it, baby." That's Selma's thing is baby. I'm the eyes and the ears of the entertainment business for you. And so thank you so much for being here today, Selma. It's so great to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I think your story is so inspirational. What I love about being able to do this show is I get to share with our listeners people who come from a variety of different backgrounds. So your first language isn't even English. You came from Brazil originally, right?
Yes. My first language is Portuguese.
Uh-huh.
And my second language is Greek because I went to live in Greece and I didn't speak English or Greek, so I had to learn the language. So pretty much English is my third language.
And you're a writer, which I think is important for our listeners to understand, is that no matter where you come from, you weren't even born learning this language. And here you are, a professional journalist, very successful one at that. So how did your career get to where it is today?
Well, I mean, like you said, you know, from my story, I was going to a lot of parties, mostly in New York, and then I started traveling to Cannes for the film festival, and pretty much like every month I was in another country or in another city, you know, like totally doing the jet set life, and I started reporting for the New York Daily News. About all these parties and everything that was going on. So that's pretty much how I started. And I just, you know, was very dedicated to learn the language and learn the business and learn about everything and everybody. Meaning like, you know, all the actors and, you
who's
know,
who.
Musicians, who is who, what they're doing. And pretty much you need to know everything to write about the entertainment business. You pretty much need to know who you're talking about.
Exactly.
So that's pretty much how that happened. I mean, it's not that easy. It sounds easy, but it wasn't. There was a lot of obstacles, but...
How did you know it was your passion? I mean, it sounds like you were great at doing jewelry design and you had tried your hand at several other things first. How did you know it was what you were meant to do with your career?
Well, the other businesses that I had was a little too, maybe too strict or too...
conservative?
Yeah. And this business, this, I mean, I made this job for myself. It's pretty much my personality, which I love to go out. I love to party. I'm a very social person. It was a great combination for me to, you know, just go everywhere and do parties and then write about it. It's an amazing job.
So how did you even get the funds to begin with to get to go? I mean, people here, it's like the dream job to be with the jet set, to be going on these yachts, going to Cannes, going wherever you were going in the world. Did you have funding from your other job and you just used that to help you go?
Well, in the beginning, I did have two jobs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was designing jewelry and I was also working in a showroom for a designer. So I would work there three times a week from 9 to 5, and then I'll bring my clothes to change and my makeup. I'll change it up and then go to parties at night.
Wow. And so you just were working round the clock and sleeping in between.
Yes. No sleep. No sleep.
No sleep for Selma.
No, I'll get home like at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then have to get up at 7 to go to work. At 8. So, yeah, but, you know, it was fun. It was, I was doing what I loved. And then after like a year and a half, 2 years, I gave up the other job and then started making money just with this job. So that's how I did it. But yeah, I worked a lot.
So who was your first celebrity you ever interviewed?
I don't remember now.
Or one of your more memorable early.
I mean, Yoko Ono, yeah.
Yeah.
Yoko Ono was,
you can't really complain about
legendary.
That.
Legendary. I mean, she is just incredible. So I really like interviewing her. I also really like interviewing Ty Dolla $ign because he's really fun and really smart. And his music is amazing. So I really like, I really enjoy. And Wiz Khalifa, too. Wiz Khalifa is... was nice to interview him though too. So I mean, like a lot of people, I just also interviewed Jay Sutter just recently, like last week, and she was amazing. Really cool girl, really down to earth. That's what I love about the interviews that I'm doing now, because you really get to know people, you really get closer, you know, to, because I always do like one-on-one interviews. I don't do like on the red carpet. So it's a great experience for me to do this.
So how do you go from, say, somebody's thinking, oh, my gosh, this sounds like the best job in the whole wide world, which clearly it is. So how do you go from attending these parties and putting yourself out there to actually writing about them? How did you get your articles and your photographs picked up?
Oh, well, I met, I had a friend that I met at a party, a friend of hers. His name, it was Marcus Baron. He's actually a writer, and he was writing for the New York Daily News for a column for Rush and Malloy, and he was working with George Rush. So I started, you know, sending all my stories to Marcus and to George, and that's how I started.
So it's all, it sounds like a lot of your career was just kind of who you knew. Just by being out and socializing, you kind of created these opportunities for yourself.
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I was pretty much in the right place at the right time.
But the thing is that I want everybody to understand is that the first step to being in the right place at the right time is get up off the couch. you would have never been able to become a celebrity writer or to, you know, get to see the people and meet the people you needed to meet if it wasn't for getting up and even after a long day of work, going out and putting yourself out there in front of the people you needed to meet.
Yes, I work a lot. Even now, it's like I work.
You do work a lot.
Pretty much, yes. I pretty much work 24 hours, you know, because you go to the parties and it's fun and you meet a lot of people, get the information, but then you have to go home and write.
So, yeah, and remember all the information.
Yes. So it is a lot of work, but I love it. You know, it's I wouldn't change it. I think this is my path. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yes. And so were there any obstacles for you when you first started? Did you get articles rejected?
No, pretty much my stories were always super hot. I think some of the obstacles is like the language.
Of course. How did you do that? I mean, how did you even overcome that with it, having English be your third language?
I mean, I was here already in the States for probably 15 years. So I was, you know, my English was pretty good, but not writing. So
yeah, I'm not a good writer, and it's my first language.
I don't know, I just really dedicated myself to doing that. You know, when I decided it was going to be my business and was going to be what I was going to do, so then I just dedicated more myself. Another obstacle, of course, a lot of competition, because a lot of people want to do what I'm doing. There's still a lot of competition. Some people are just mean, you know, like, because they don't want you to be successful. So I ran into a lot of mean people. But, you know, I don't pay attention to them.
So how do you overcome that? Is there any sort of, are you spiritual? Is there anything you do mentally to prepare yourself if you get somebody who's nasty in an interview or somebody who says nasty things about what you've written?
Oh, well, it's not really about how I interview people. Nobody actually has ever been nasty to me that I interviewed. Just people at events.
Who can be
parties,
jerks.
Yeah, sometimes the security, the way they talk to you, they're really nasty. And, you know, instead of getting into an argument, I just turn it around and, you know, just tell them to have some respect because, you know, we all working when we're
in the
out.
Same industry.
Yeah, in the industry. So it's better just to have respect for each other instead of you, like, you don't even know who I am and you're talking to me like disrespectful way. And, you know, and you shouldn't talk to anybody like that. So, you know, I just put people in their place.
Yeah, I think it's all about, and I've been at events with you, you know, where you've done that. And I think it's about having grace in the way that you handle it. It's just, hey, you know, that doesn't work. We're on the same team here. We're here to make sure the event's successful and that the celebrities are successful. And I think it's about creating a partnership with people and creating a way that you guys can have the security feel set up, the PR people feel set up, and you get the story that you need. And I think there's a great opportunity for symbiosis there and just kind of creating a partnership with people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So how, I mean, I remember, I think when you and I first met, it was at the People's Choice Awards a few years ago.
Yes.
You know, it's so funny the way the universe brings people into your life. And
yes.
So how did you first start to go to some of these red carpet events? I know you said in New York, you crashed some parties. How did you even know the parties to go to or crash, or how did you even get into
this? I know,
this?
Actually, at that time, which is like 18 years ago, there was no internet. I mean, there was the internet, but...
Not like it is now.
Yeah, there was no Instagram. There was no social media. There was only like phone. I mean, to find the information of a party and, you know, a celebrity party, it was all friends. Like, you know, we just had a network of friends that that were party animals.
Okay, so the key number one to getting into this industry is have friends who like to party a lot, apparently.
Yes, and then I also became friends with a lot of the owners of the clubs.
Oh, good idea.
Clubs and restaurants. And so they would call me and tell me such and such person is coming here tonight. Why don't you come so you can write about it? And it was great because, you know, it was good for the club because they would get, you know, written in an amazing newspaper. It was good for the celebrity because, you know, they get a little
publicity.
And it was great for me because I will write it and then make money. So it was great.
That's awesome. So it sounds like it's kind of a win-win situation, is you created strategic alliances with the restaurateurs and the club owners. And then that way you guys could help one another.
Yes.
And you're like, hey, I'll help you and just kind of keep me in the loop. But it sounds like there's a lot of follow-up that you must
but
have
they,
had to
they
do.
But they were also friends. You know, I became friends with them, you know, so. So that really helped.
I think that's the secret to finding happiness and success in business, is if you do business with people who you're friends with. I think it just creates so much more happiness and long-term sustainability. I feel like so many people do business with people they don't like. They do business with clients they don't like, or they do a job where they don't like the people they work with, and it really does come across. And I think you're just such a direct, authentic person that people can tell if you like them or not, and it's going to come across if you like the people that you work with.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, for me, it's great when I, you know, go to a party and I see people that, you know, that I mean, it's always the same people. I'm talking about not only the celebrities, but also, you know, other journalists or party animals that go that, you know, are always attending the same parties as I do. And it's great to see all these people all the time, you know, but obviously there are some not so nice. We just ignore them.
Well, it was funny because you actually gave me a great piece of advice the other day, because Selma and I will occasionally go to these parties together.
Yes.
And for me, I don't want to get in your way of your interviews and your career. And I remember there was that gentleman from the show. What was the show? We just went to the premiere of Underground. Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
And I remember you said the best piece of advice that night that you would give to anybody is always be the one that stands out in a room, because you said no matter what room you walk
make
into.
Make yourself known.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly what you said.
Exactly.
Is, you know, you said that when you go to an event, the thing is, you can go to a million parties and you can show up, but if you're a wallflower and if nobody knows who you are and you don't know who anybody else is, you're not going to get the story, the photos, whatever it is you need.
Yes.
So how do you make yourself known? Whether it's a business meeting or a party, what are the ways you can make yourself known?
Just, you know, have a lot of gut. Don't be nervous.
A lot of gumption.
Have a shot of vodka.
Okay, if you don't drink, shot of Red Bull.
Yes, just go for it. You know, just go and introduce yourself to. I mean, I go introduce myself to Nicole Kidman. You know, everybody's scared of. I was scared too. I mean, she's like
beautiful,
you know, and beautiful and super successful, and you never know how these people are gonna react. You know, so my advice is, if you want to meet a celebrity or someone that you admire, you know, just be funny, be gentle, say something like, oh my God, I love your movies, I'm such a fan, and just try to make a little conversation and be kind, because if you're like pushy and say, oh, can I take a picture with you, and you know,
it's just
I
gonna think, push people
yeah
away.
They just get scared, you know what I mean? Or
and they call security over.
Yeah, or if you want something like to do a business with them, I don't know, maybe you want to do a movie with Nicole Kidman, you just say something, but say it short and kind, and you know, and but if you don't say anything, she will never know that you want to make a movie with her, or that you want to take a picture with her, or that you admire her. So for me, I just really had to like not be afraid anymore of, you know, just going and introducing myself. So now when I go to a party, I meet at least like 10, 20 people.
I think that's a great piece of advice for our listeners. And I think the other thing that is the important to that, which we've already mentioned, is follow-up. You can meet 10 or 20 people, but what you are really great at that I've noticed is that you'll follow up with people on Insta, on Twitter. And sometimes people don't understand how to leverage social media, whether you're in entertainment industry, whether you're in the business industry. The great thing about Twitter and Insta is that you don't have to know that person. I've had a friend of mine who actually was interviewed for a book because she tweeted back and forth with somebody who was writing something and said, said, oh, I really like it. And so if you don't have that person's personal information, I think the great thing is you could just at message them on Twitter and say, hey, great meeting you. Here's a photo of us, and follow up, which you're really great about.
Yeah, I actually noticed, you know, I have cards from Billboard, and I noticed that I was giving a lot of cards and nobody ever called me back, you know, nobody ever called me. So I was like, you know, why am I doing that? So I decided to say, you know, let's exchange numbers and put it on my phone, because I think these days people just don't do cards anymore. It's incredible.
Yeah, nobody really does do them. No. I mean, I think that it's so helpful nowadays because people will just text each other or add each other on
Facebook. I'll just do both. You know, I was like, give me your number, and then I give my card, you know, or if it's a loud place, you can't even talk, whatever, then I'll give my card. But I think you just have to be very persistent in any business, any business, not only my business. If you have a goal, you know, just stick to it and don't let anybody tell you that you cannot do it. That's the most important thing, you know, because there's a lot of people that, you know, try to put you down. They may be jealous or they want your job. A lot of people, like I said, want my job. So I had a lot of people put me down, and I just, you know, have to. I go home, cry, and then forget about it the next day.
No, skip the crying part. That's from one of my favorite books I've ever read, is Don Miguel Ruiz in The Four Agreements says one of the most powerful things that you can do in any area, business or personally, is to not take anything personally. So if somebody says, like, Selma, you're the most gorgeous baby, you're the most beautiful writer ever, you know, don't take that personally. Or if somebody says, you totally suck, you're a horrible person, don't take that personally, because it's all just a reflection of the other person's inner state and has zero to do with you as a human being.
Yeah, I agree. It's true. But sometimes it hurts.
sometimes life happens. I know. I think the secret to being successful in life is having it hurt less and less instead of having it hurt for weeks or months, having it hurt for minutes or seconds. So
yeah,
I think that's it's important, though. Like you're saying, it's about being resilient and not being afraid to hear no. I think must be important in your business, right?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of no's, lots of no's. Yes, I heard, but you know, you try to turn the no into a yes, you know, all the time.
So how would you turn a no into a yes? Tell our listeners a little more about that.
I mean, if something affects you, like somebody says something mean to you, or if they say, no, we cannot do that, either you say it another way.
Got it. You rearrange the question.
Rearrange the question. Or if somebody really hurt your feelings. For me, I like to go home and think about it. Like, I never get into an argument with somebody. When somebody says something to me that hurts me, I don't get into an argument. I go home, or, you know, I let one day pass. I think about it, and then I will answer to that person and say, why is that person saying that to me? Is it like, just like what you said, you know, it's a reflection of that person. So, you know, you just have to see, why is that person saying that to you? And then you make a decision, do I want this person in my life or not? You know, I just had a disagreement with someone, so now
it's very fresh.
I just decided not to have this person in my life anymore, and you know, it hurts because it was a dear friend, but what are you gonna do?
I think that's a really good piece of advice to being successful in life, is that no matter who I've had on the show, whether it's been a career expert or somebody who already has their dream job, the consensus overall has been people who are successful don't keep negative people in their lives. And I think that's critical, because you're on a certain trajectory and not everybody's going to support you. Certain people, whether it's your competition, whether it's your best friend, might try to knock you down and say, you can't do it. You're not
big
smart
time.
Enough. You don't, English isn't your first language. You're not really good at this. I mean, there's a million things that people could say that could be hurtful.
Yes.
But it's about being strong enough with yourself and having enough self-confidence to love yourself and to say to yourself, that's not true. And do I want to surround myself with people who are going to tell me that that's their truth?
I mean, I'm so busy, and a lot of people are busy too. I'm such a busy person in my life, so the 24 hours I have every day, I really want to just have quality time. If I have a friend, you know, over for dinner or something, or if we go out, like when we go out for dinner and when we spend time together, I want somebody to be positive, to be a friend, to, you know, we talk about things. And I don't want someone that is always negative and that is, you know, going to...
pull you down.
Yeah, pull me down. Yeah, so... I'm really choosy now in, you know, who I have in my life.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it's very important.
1 year ago, my vocal coach, Arthur Joseph, told me something really great: to look at your life and to look at the hours you spend in your life. Like you just said, the 24 hours in your life are very busy hours, and you're very intentional about the way that you spend them, which is understandable. I know you get invited to 3 to 5 or 10 parties a night.
Yes.
So one thing Arthur had told me years ago, he said, Jen, I want you to look at your week, and I want you to do what's called a 162-hour exercise. So that's, I think, how many hours we have in a week, if I'm not mistaken. And he said, I want you to look at where you invest those hours each week. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people will say, well, how does Selma do it? How does she write articles and go to parties and do this? Or how do I do a radio show and run a company and do speaking engagements? And the secret is to look at where we invest our time and energy.
Yes.
Is it with people who uplift us? Is it doing things we love? And so I invite everybody out there, really spend, you know, some time, spend an hour or two, look at where your 162 hours are spent. And if it's spent with people, look at those people in your life and ask yourself, are those people uplifting you or are they dragging you down? And can you minimize the amount of those 162 hours that you spend with those people and instead invest that time in a more wiser long-term investment of friendship or business relationships or whatever that might look like?
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, you know, my work is it's not like I go to a party and, you know, and party with everybody and but I also do a lot of research, you know, like there's so many new artists coming up, like so many musicians. And, you know, every time I go and interview someone, I do a lot of research, hours, sometimes days. Like Yoko Ono, literally 3 days of research. Like I watched every single interview she had on YouTube. I read her bio like 3 times. I like everything that you can imagine. I knew about this woman, you know, before I went to interview her. Because the worst thing you can do is when you go interview that person and they don't know anything about you. They're like, what is the name of your record? You know, it's like, it's horrible.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, super disrespectful. So it's very important to know everything. I know everything about pretty much everybody.
But I think I love what you just said, Selma, and I love how it ties into job hunting very appropriately, because here you are and you're going out and you're interviewing, you know, celebrities and musicians, etc., and you never set foot in an interview without completely 110% knowing your subject. The same thing is true of job seekers in an interview. I always tell job seekers, before they ever set foot in any interview, they better have done at least 2 to 3 hours of research on the company, the people they're meeting with. Know all the little facts about anything they can find out that they could have researched about the company. And I tell people, don't bother showing up. Don't show up to the interview. I've actually canceled interviews hours before an interview because the person didn't do strong enough due diligence.
Yes.
And I think that's what can make or break a great interview. Whether you're writing for Billboard magazine or whether you're going to apply for a job at Billboard, the same is true.
Yes. Yes, completely. You need to know what you're talking about. 100%.
Yeah, if you don't, it just shows the person who you're interviewing with that you don't care. I think that's the thing, too, is it's not only disrespectful, it just shows, it's kind of like an apathy, a lack of actual interest in the subject or the job or the person you're interviewing.
Yeah, you really need to know. You really need to do your research before any interview that you're doing. Yeah. So, and even like when I go to a party, you know, I go to a party, like, even when I go to a party now, because they send me, like, you know, a press release before. So I literally look at everybody that is listed, everybody that's going to be at the party, and I research everything about the person, everybody that is on that list. So it takes me hours to do that.
Yeah, I know. And you're right.
And then, you know, I have to do my makeup and my hair. That takes an hour and a half. And then, you know, have a beautiful dress. Then I have to go there and party with all these people.
Oh, it's a rough life. Hold on. I think all of our listeners are playing the smallest violin in the world for you right now.
And then I have to make small talk with all these people, you know, and then I call home and write about it. Yeah.
So it's not all fun and games. You're telling people it's like blood, sweat, and tears that you're investing into this. All kidding aside, I do know what it takes for you to, you know, prepare and to get into an event.
Yes.
And you're right. It can make a big difference. I mean, you remember that one party. I don't even think about it because I've joined you at parties and you'll send me an invite and say, hey, baby, you want to come to this party?
Yes, yes.
And then I showed up. And there was the one party where I showed up and I'm interacting with the gentleman who I didn't know was hosting the party. I'm like, oh, so what do you do? And I'm talking to him and I looked like a complete buffoon because it was Randy Jackson and he was hosting the party.
Yes. And he's like huge on TV. He's like on TV. He was on TV like every day.
And I had no idea who he was. So the point of the matter is, though, is always do your research. Even if you're just somebody else going to a party, always do your research, because that's what I learned from that experience is that.
But
that,
I didn't give you much information too. I didn't
his
even
name
tell,
was on the invite. Yeah, he was hosting the party.
Yes, true. I did send you the invite. Yeah.
Yeah. But it just goes to show you, no matter what situation you're walking into in life, whether it's a charity party or whether it's a friend's birthday party, just know your audience and know who you're walking into and what sort of situation, because it'll leave you being more empowered and not feeling embarrassed or ashamed.
But he was so sweet.
He
remember?
Was. Shout out to Randy Jackson. He was very kind when I asked him what he did. And what did he tell us? He's the black, some people call him the black Brad Pitt, I think. He's like, well, some people think I'm the black Brad Pitt of, you know, the TV industry.
Yes, yes. He was great. He wasn't like, whoa, you don't know who I am? He was so kind, so nice.
Very gracious. And that's a nice
very
thing.
Gracious.
There are a lot of nice people out there.
Yes.
So what do you do if you ever come across an interview where you're nervous? Have you ever gotten
nervous?
Oh,
my God. Nervous. You know how nervous.
Okay. Well, yes.
You know. When we were in Vegas last year, you remember how nervous I was.
So how do you handle it? What would you suggest to our listeners if they're going in for...
Well, actually, you know, after that I was throwing up after I interview
Florida Georgia Line.
Yes. Oh my God, I was so nervous. That was amazing. Anyway, after that, we talked about it.
Yeah.
And I did some research and I just decided that if this is going to be like, you know, for the rest of my life that I'm going to do this job, I can't be nervous
and throwing up.
Right? I mean, throwing up, but also they're so hot. Those two.
Yeah, for any of our listeners who don't know, Florida Georgia Line is a very successful country music band, and Selma was kind enough to invite me to the American Country Music Awards last year where she interviewed them, and they had just won some big record deal. So that was a huge coup for you and for Billboard magazine to get that interview.
Yes.
And it makes sense that you were nervous. So what did you learn going forward to help mitigate that?
Well, one of the things is always be prepared.
Yes.
That's, you know, a lot of research, know everything about the person. That also helps with not being so nervous. Breathe a lot. Actually, Wiz Khalifa told me that because when I was interviewing Wiz, I said to him, oh my God, I'm so nervous.
Aww.
And he's like, I said to him, do you ever get nervous? He said, no. I'm like, really? What do you do? Well, of course, I am like, I was going to say.
Okay, yes, I can read between the lines.
And he said, I just breathe. I breathe a lot. Just breathe really deep every time you're starting to get nervous. And also another thing that I read was try to think about something else. When you're going into the interview or when you're going to do the thing that is making you nervous, think about something else. Mm. Think about a place you like to be, like, you know, the beach or the mountains.
Somewhere calm or that makes you happy.
Exactly.
What a great piece of advice. I love that. So kind of use a visualization technique to kind of visualize your happy place and then just allow a conscious breath and be present.
Yes, that's it. That's what I do. That's what I do now.
Yeah, that makes such a big difference. And that's great that Wiz was able to give you that feedback. Because I'm sure whether you're a speaker, a celebrity, or a writer, there's always going to be circumstances or a job seeker going into an interview.
Yes.
We all have the experience of having, you know, the butterflies in our stomach. What I love that you did, Selma, as well, you said to Wiz that you were nervous. And that's the same thing that I tell job seekers to say in an interview, because if you go into an interview and you're about to interview for the job of your dreams and you're sweating and your heart's racing.
Exactly. If you forget what you're going to ask. I was so nervous. My mouth was dry. my heart was beating so fast. And I was like, what do I do? So I just told him, I'm sorry, you know, if I seem a little, you know, silly, or, you know, it's because I'm really nervous. And he's like, and then he touched me. He's like, no, don't be nervous. There's nothing to be nervous about. So also that put me at ease. Yeah. That was really nice.
And people underestimate the power of that, though, because I feel like if you hadn't done that the whole time, you would have been in your head telling yourself, oh my God, does he know I'm nervous? Oh, I'm so embarrassed. And we do the same thing when we walk into a job interview. We go in there and people are sweating and nervous and thinking a million thoughts that aren't the most empowered thoughts. And if you don't say to the person you're interviewing with, oh my gosh, you know, I should probably let you know it's not something I do a lot of. I'm a little bit nervous. Selling myself isn't my greatest strength. You're going to be in your head that whole interview and not be able to be present and get the best interview, whether it's with Wiz or whether it's with your dream, you know, job and the dream partner at your dream company. It's about being authentic. I think that's why Wiz probably connected with you on that, as he saw that you were just an authentic human being there to get the best story possible from him and wanted to support you in doing that in a successful way.
Yeah, and actually became a really good interview.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then I saw him like 3 weeks after, again, I interviewed him again because he had a launch of a clothing line. And so I told him, yeah, I'm doing better now.
Yeah, you told him your advice helped. And that's the thing. It can make a big difference. So don't be afraid in an interview, just to be authentic and sometimes say, you know, I'm a little nervous. And then once you say it, it's out of your space. And then you've said it, and now it's out there and it's not internal. It's become external.
Yeah, but it's really important to be prepared.
Yeah, and like you said, the more prepared you are, the less nervous you will likely be, because you've already walked into a situation, you know, having everything set up in a powerful way. So are there any tips that you would give to our listeners if somebody's like, gosh, you know, this sounds like my dream job, or I would love to get, I know so many people move to LA just to get into the entertainment industry. Are there any tips you can think of for our listeners that might be helpful for them?
Stay focused.
Yes.
Very focused.
Good point in LA, especially.
Yeah. Stay focused. Like I said before, don't let anybody put you down. You know, don't give up. If you want something, just go for it. Always. And get out there. Meet people. You know, you never know. You can go to, you know, I have met people at bars, like an amazing actor. There was like a, you know, just a little bar somewhere, you know what I mean? Just get out, go to places. If you want to meet someone, like for your job, or if you want to meet an act, I don't know, something somebody that you want to meet, you need to get out. You need to go and just talk to that person. Just, you know, but like I said, be kind. You know what you want to say. You know, practice before you go. Sometimes I practice my interviews, you know. I practice by myself, you know.
In the mirror, like, I know a lot of people do that. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I read over and over again my questions. And also, it's like you need to do, the interview needs to be interesting, because our readers obviously want something interesting.
Something juicy and different.
Yeah, something juicy, something interesting, something like, you know. So I need to sometimes think about what is it interesting about this person that I can ask, you know. So it all depends of the person, obviously, you know. So what else? Always be nice. Always be friendly. But like they say, don't mistake my kindness for weakness.
Oh, great quote. I love that. That's a good quote. I mean, I think that you have to be firm and loving and kind all at the same time, and always have healthy boundaries.
Yes, yes. Yeah, because I can be mean when I need to.
Well, you could be straightforward.
Trust me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are all great pieces of advice. I know a great question somebody once taught me years ago: when you go to a networking event, don't make it about you, because so often people bombard you at a networking event. Oh, I do this. And especially in LA, oh, I'm this producer. I do this. I do that. And one of the ways that I found, whether I'm at an A-list celebrity party or if I'm at a business networking event, is just ask people, get curious and ask questions about them. And it's not like you're in a formal interview. Obviously, I'm not a professional interviewer in the same way you are for Billboard. But if I meet a celebrity or if I meet anybody, I'm just going to ask questions about them like they're a normal person. What really matters to you? What are your interests? What do you love to do?
Yes, but, you know, interesting enough, celebrities, when they're at a party and they don't know who you are, they sometimes get nervous because you're asking too many questions.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought of that.
So this is what I learned. This is a really good tip that I never told anybody. But because also Lionel Richie once, you know what he told me?
What?
He's like, when I meet people, I don't want them to tell me, oh, how amazing I am. And, you know, that I you know, it's like,
I know I'm amazing.
No, it's like everybody says that to him.
Yeah.
But when he meets someone, he really wants to know what that person is about.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yes. So when he told me that, that was years ago, when he told me that, I was like, that makes so much sense. So my advice is, say, like, let's say you're going to go and meet someone and you say, Lionel Richie, oh my God, I love your songs. I'm, you know, such an inspiration to me. This and that. And then talk about yourself.
Oh, you interesting. Know. See, that's exactly opposite of business.
Yes.
And business, they say that you really want to engage.
But not with celebrities. Not with celebrities. Celebrities, they get scared when you ask too much. They think maybe you're a reporter or maybe you're going to, you know,
use it against them.
Yeah. So I find that, you know, when I tell people my personal life, which, you know, I'm not hiding anything. So I talk up, you know me.
Oh, yeah. You're very direct.
I'm very direct and say everything about my sexual life, about everything. And so when I open up, they feel more at ease. Even when they know that I'm a reporter, even when they know I'm a journalist, they feel at ease because they're like, okay, she's saying all this personal stuff. So I guess I can say it too.
Interesting. So it's kind of like by being authentic and sharing little tidbits about yourself, it makes other people feel safe around you.
Yes.
Wow.
You know how people open up to me.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
People
always open up. And you just have this natural way of being is you're just very authentic. And so I think that can be applied in business as well, is that when you're really authentic and you share things about yourself, like I am prone, like people put me on a pedestal sometimes and say, oh, you're so perfect. You do this and you do charity stuff. And so I tell people all the time, I'm a recovering asshole. I was a complete jerk in the past. And I'll share it I know, right? But I share.
I can't believe that.
That's what everybody.
So
that's what everybody says.
You're the most amazing person we're talking about. Yes, you are.
But the great thing is that when you do share little things that are like not the pretty parts about yourself, it does make people feel safer around you. So I could see where that would be a great tool to use either in a celebrity case or if you're just in a business setting and creating new, you know, real authentic relationships.
Yeah, I would think even for an interview, you know, when somebody goes for an interview for a new job, just be authentic, just be like, you know, this is who I am, and, you know, if you like it, great. If you don't, I'll go somewhere else. You know what I mean? Because you really need to be happy. Work is pretty much, like, for me, work is my life right now because I don't have a boyfriend. I'm not married, as you know.
Yeah. By the way, single men out there, at Selma Fonseca on Insta.
Yes. So, you know, my work is my life right now, you know, and I don't think it's bad. I love it because I love my job. I love going to parties. I love talking to people, writing. So, for me, it's very important to be happy where you work.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There was a great quote by the creator of Peter Pan. I think I have it in my book. And he says, It's not work. No, it's only work if you'd rather be doing something else. And I think that's the goal,
exactly.
Kind of the pinnacle of where we all want to reach in our careers, is that work and happiness and life all just flow together because there's nothing else you'd rather be doing.
I mean, listen, I'd love to be in some bar, so Saint-Tropez on the beach.
Which you are very often with Justin Bieber and other people, FYI. So I don't want to hear you complain and say that.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I don't even know where you were going to go with that, but I'm going to nip that one in the butt. Because yes, you, and the good news is you can even do your work in Saint-Tropez,
yes,
or
yes.
Cannes, or wherever
that's
you might be.
That's what my job is so great too, because I can pretty much go anywhere. I can go to New York. I mean, right now I'm in LA a lot, but you know, I think this year I'll go to Cannes Film Festival again. And I go to festivals. I'm going to go to, in April, I'm going to go to the Country Music Awards again.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah. So it gives me, like, a lot of freedom to travel and to, like, meet other people and to do so many beautiful things, you know.
Yeah, and you have the freedom. And I really tell anybody out there, some people like to have a very free lifestyle and other people like to have more structure and rigidity. And you just have to figure out what makes you happy. For some people, the idea of not knowing where you're going every day and not having a 9-to-5 can be scary for them, which just means more of a corporate job might be better structured for that individual. And it's understanding what will make you happy. I think that's a great question to leave our listeners with, is go to bed tonight and really just think about it, meditate on it, reflect, maybe journal about it if you're interested in that, and really just write down what will make you happy. Think of a couple of things, and that's the start to creating your dream job, is first looking internally and then looking externally to find what you want.
Yeah, I think love is very important too.
Yeah.
From everyone, you know.
To generate self-love. It starts with self-love,
yes,
you know.
Self-love, sure.
My vocal coach taught me it. He says, you know, Jen, just tell yourself every morning you love yourself. And I do. And I tell myself several times a day, because we don't always acknowledge. We tell.
After my coffee, I look in the mirror and I say that.
Exactly.
Not before.
Yeah. And so just go out there and ask yourself what makes you happy.
Yes.
And so,
what will make me happy every day? And so just do that.
And that's exactly what you did, which landed you your dream job. And despite various obstacles that were in your path, you did it. You did it successfully. You'll continue to do it for many more years. And I invite all of our listeners to go out there and reflect on that. And speaking of reflecting on things, next weekend we're going to have Shannon Leishner on the show again. She's been on the show back in early October of last year, as well as she was one of my original guests. I think it was in April or May of 2016 as well. And I love having Shannon on the show because she brings the spiritual perspective to business and looking at what's missing for you spiritually that would help you achieve that next step. So this show is the perfect precursor to that. And of course, if you ever miss the show live, you can always find it on the archives of LA Talk Radio and get yourself the job on LA Talk Radio, or go to iTunes and download and subscribe to the show for free. You can download it, listen at your leisure. Just look up under the podcast section of the show, Get Yourself the Job. And if you'd like more information on Selma Fonseca, you can go to
selmafonseca.com.
Absolutely. And that's spelled SELMAFONSECA.com, correct?
Yes.
And you can follow Selma and all of her fun adventures on Insta or on Twitter as well. At Selma Fonseca. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Selma. It's been such a pleasure to have you here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Everybody have a wonderful week, and thank you so much for tuning in.
Kisses.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.